You know, Proverbs 4:23, where it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, of Zoe, actually, of all of life. And so what does that mean? It says the issues literally, in if you go look at the Hebrew, it actually means the outer limit or the your boundary or how far you'll let yourself go, not God. God withholds no good thing is what it said. I'm not a father that doesn't answer your prayer. And I know forever, how many guys have written books on how to get your prayer answered? You know how to get your prayer answered? Ask. It's a one-sentence prayer book. You ask, you shall receive. 10 reasons why you're not receiving your prayer. And we're going to answer that today like we did last week. Amen? The only reason you're not receiving the answer for your prayer because you're not receiving it. Is see, he's not withholding it. He goes, you ask for anything, by covenant I have to give it to you. Anything that's in my name, which is sozo, salvation. He goes, my name is salvation. Amen? So I've redeemed you from everything the first Adam lost. I've given you back the last Adam's lost. So if you need prosperity, you know what the issue is? Your heart. So guess what? How do we change it? It's really easy. Is we start planning, I'm already prosperous. I'm prosperous. He loves me so much. If I understood the breadth, width, length, depth of his love for you, he'll do exceedingly beyond what I think or require, is really what that scripture, Ephesians 3:19 or 20 says. So what's the holdup? It's not spiritual warfare how you think, that demons are holding it up and left behind and Peretti and all this stuff, that there's a guy, and he's none of that. It's none of that. He goes, out of it, literally how much you're going to receive of the kingdom life, how much you're going to receive of everything Jesus already bought and paid for and made you a joint heir for, is the condition of your heart. So the cool part about that is we just have to start meditating on Jesus, the right thing. This is who I am in Christ Jesus. And I'll go through those scriptures today about the parable of the sower. Does that make sense to you guys? And so I would just ask you to listen with an open heart because it's probably different than what you were taught even in Bible school. And but I just think it's so clear to me. Everything's about an old covenant and a new covenant. There was an old way of doing things, there's a new way of doing things. There was old man, there's a new man. There was the first Adam, there's the last Adam. There was an old song, there was weeping, there's no more weeping. It says, hey, weep not in Revelation 5, right? There was a man who redeemed us. It said, we sought for a man, but we couldn't find any. So there was much weeping. Because they were sealed by all these things. Sealing was a property deed. It's, I own something. That's why in the new covenant it says, listen, Jesus was able to open those seals, buy you back, redeem you, and now you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. It says the down payment in the new covenant. The down payment until you get your glorified body when you actually go to heaven. So he goes, I own you. So if you sin, are you back into sin? No. He sealed you. I own you. He goes, your new slave owner is called righteousness. It's not called sin. Does that make sense? So you don't have to obey it. Not now, if he goes, you obeyed that form of teaching where the church gets it wrong and go, see, you sinned, so now you're a slave to sin. No, you're a slave if you believe that. Because you messed up today, now I'm a slave owner to sin. He goes, no, you used to be that way, but now obey your right slave owner. He goes, I don't care what they just told you. I'm the real slave owner now. I'm righteousness. And I said, you're still righteous even if you just sinned. Believe that one. Obey that one's voice. Does that make sense? Okay, does that help you guys? It's not the old covenant of what I do determines my blessing is over. The new covenant of what I believe is in place. It's a spiritual thing. First the physical, now there's the spiritual, which was the real kingdom. You guys help? Okay, let's go through this. The parable of the sower. And why am I going through this? Because it says if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any of them. So it'd be good if we understood this one. Follow me? I know it's simple, but that's how I do it. It's like, well, let's just go find the right one. He says, if you don't understand this one, you're not going to understand any of them. And I read the people's interpretations of the parables, and I go, they've got it. Everyone's different. They have a different interpretation of every parable, yet he said, this is the one that you need to know. So we're going to know this one. Is that good? Then you know every parable. How about that? Save you about 3 years of Bible school. Okay. Just a little review. Mark 1:14. Now after John was put in prison, that's John the Baptist, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom of God. And he's saying, time is fulfilled. What time? All those things that they were looking up for, he says, you know what? All the Old Testament were types and shadows, but now is the title deed. The real thing is Jesus Christ. You guys get it? That time is fulfilled. It's the good time right now. And the kingdom of God is at hand, meaning we can have it right now. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So repent means metanoia. It doesn't mean stop sinning. It means start believing something different. What was preached? The good news. We cool there? So that's it. Here's what we need to do. Change what we believe and believe the good news. That's how you're going to experience the kingdom. So that should tell you right now, your thoughts, are they tangible things? They're not physical. That's what I should ask. They're very tangible. They're real. But are they physical things that you can see? No. So the kingdom, how to experience the kingdom is about something you can't see. It's about believing the right thing. Believing the good news. Follow me? Okay. So the kingdom is not tangible. Or in Scripture actually says it doesn't come by observance, meaning you can't observe rituals like the Old Testament rituals. Hey, if I do this, then this. You can't do that. It doesn't come by observance. It comes by believing. You can't see it and you can't do. We'll go through that. Does that help you guys? So the kingdom, how do you experience everything in the kingdom? Start planting the good thing in your heart. All right. So let's go into this. Mark 4:11, he said unto them, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. So if we have ears to hear is what he's going to say. And he's always talking to the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the multitudes, and then the sinners. Now, what we've been taught forever is God loves the religious people, and he hates the sinner. 180 degrees are different. God loved the sinner, if you go look at it, and he drilled the pastors, the priests, the religious. Hey, I don't do this, so look at me. He called them whitewashed tombs. He called the high priest of Israel the spawn of Satan. That's tough, isn't it? When you think, look how good I am, and yet he goes, your father's the devil. So I'm not going to go that far here, but it's backwards. We read this whole scripture backwards. Does that make sense? He goes, I gave grace to the humble that go, man, I don't deserve anything. Really? I'm righteous? Hallelujah, Lord. What can I do to ever repay you? He goes, nothing. Just pray. Give me with a sacrifice of your lips. Tell me thank you. Amen? You don't need to bring a lamb anymore. So, all right. So we're going to know the mystery of the kingdom. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. Who is he talking to? Not you. What Jesus and the apostles said, listen, Isaiah was right. You saw the kingdom, but you didn't see it. You heard the message, but you didn't hear it. He's talking to them. That's not you. Let's just make sure, because a lot of people try to place themselves here. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven. So if they believed the right thing, they would experience life. So. Okay? And he said unto them, know ye not this parable, and then will you know all parables. The sower soweth the word. So he goes, the mystery of the kingdom is going to come in this parable. Got it? So it would be a good thing to know this parable, wouldn't it? Because we want to experience the kingdom. They said, repent, the kingdom of God is in his hand. Now, I want to experience everything I got and nothing less. Follow me? So let's keep going here. Verse 15, and these are by the wayside where the word is sown, but they have heard Satan, or literally says the accuser, cometh immediately and he taketh away that the word was sown in their heart. So we're talking about something to believe again, right? And he'll explain this a little more in detail in a second. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they heard the word immediately received it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately are offended. So let's just go through some of these. These are likewise which are sown on stony ground. All right, what does that mean? The condition of your heart is stony. What does that mean? You still think you're going to qualify and be blessed based on karma. If I do this right, then this is what's going to happen. If I break one of the laws, then I'm going to experience the curse. Follow me? So if you, and he's making this simple for us. He goes, your heart is the ground that we're talking about here. So if you guys have a plant and all there is stones in there, does it work very well? Does the plant will shoot up because it's looking for nutrients, right? But it can't sustain himself because the law's there. The stones are there. There's no rich soil. And he's just talking about your heart. He's trying to make this explainable for you. So the stony heart means I have to qualify by being good. Does that make sense to you guys? All right. So he goes, listen, there's no root, there's nothing to take nutrients from, so it shoots up, you're pumped up, you come out of church service, and then the accuser comes and goes, oh yeah, you think you're going to be blessed? Look at this. And a lot of times he comes, guys, and he goes, hey, look what these people did to you. You don't deserve that. Right? So we need to remind ourselves, you know what? He's perfectly love, and I'm in him, and perfect love keeps no record of wrong, even the things that people did to me. You guys get that? That's a tough one. Husband and wives, listen to that one, okay? That'll save me a lot of counseling time. Affliction, persecution comes for the message's sake. Hey, the law will always persecute grace, as it is to this day, is what it says. So when you're experiencing that freedom, like Janice is talking about, immediately you'll go somewhere, your parents, your family, your spouse, whatever, go, that can't be right, because they have to obey to be blessed. And then they start doubting. There's no root in themselves, where they don't know they're rooted and grounded in love, is what it says, where, hey, perfect love keeps no record of that, and perfect love just gives freely. So that's the root, right? Okay, let's keep going. And then these are which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word in the cares of this world. Now, this isn't even talking to you. I want to cover this, because most of the time how I was taught this parable is that you can't worry about the world and all the things going on in it. Let's go look at what actually world means in this scripture. Does that make sense? So world, in Strong's, it's 165. It's a heon or eon, like where we get the word eon, or an age. The time span, the present age has contrasted with the future age. What do you think that is? The old covenant, the present age, contrasted with, there's a future one, a new one coming. Amen? And then if you go to Help's Word Studies, it even makes it very clear. Christians today live in the newer age of the covenant, the time period called the New Testament. So he's talking about stony ground. Now think about this from a Jewish mindset, guys. Those are the cares of that age, right? So here Jesus comes along, the Apostle Paul, everybody starts coming around and go, you don't have to do any of that anymore. It's all by faith. That Jesus was the one that all that was leading up to. So, hey, you can mow your grass on Sunday. Blasphemy, right? That, how can that be? I remember I grew up in a town that was very religious like that, and you got yelled at if you mowed your grass on Sunday. And to me, I thought, it's a good time to mow the grass. I'm not going to work today. That's freedom. Then they go, no, Matt. See, I just can't believe a father would keep me from heaven because I mowed my grass on Sunday. That's weird to me. And it really is weird. Or if I worshipped on a Saturday versus a Sunday. Well, you know, the true worshipers worship on Saturday. Yet I go, can you read Colossians? It says, hey, don't let anybody judge you on days or anything anymore. But better not mow your grass on Sunday. Does that make sense? Those are the cares of that age. And so what was that age? Hey, you need to do these things. You need to follow these feasts. You need to do this. And so imagine that. So they were having a hard time believing that I could be blessed because their whole life they were taught these things. Those are the cares of that world. He's not talking about don't get caught up in the stuff today and all that. He's not talking about that. He's talking about that current age of the Old Testament. Those things, that those rituals they had to follow, was hard for them to experience the kingdom. You guys got it? In fact, if you want to look at that Matthew 24 where it says, hey, what is the sign of your time, Jesus, what's the sign of your coming and the end of this eon? It's the same word. I know King James translated it as world, but he's not talking about the earth there. He's talking about an age, an old covenant age versus a new covenant age. You can just go read it for yourself. So, you guys cool on that? My whole point is, all the stuff you've heard about it doesn't even apply to you. It doesn't even apply to you. Well, you know, I've got too many cares of this world. No, you're not even, there's no care in the New Testament where there's nothing for you to do. Everything's for you to believe. So there's no cares of this age. Because there are none. Follow me? It's all free. Just believe. But only if you do spiritual warfare. No, that'll mess you up. You'll start seeing demons and stuff and start with stuff manifest. We're so fearfully created. That stuff will happen to you. So stop it. If you don't want it to happen to you, stop. Start planting the right thing in there and it will stop. How many guys, let's just, honestly, I never knew any of that stuff till I was taught it, and then stuff started happening. When I go, that's nonsense. The stuff stopped. I was bringing it on. Right? We never worried about that stuff. Oh, I see this thing over your house. I go, stop seeing things. Put things in your heart. All right? So you get what I'm trying to say. Okay. We live in the newer age. There's no cares of this age. It's all free. You guys got it? I'm just trying to free you up so you can really receive everything for free. All right, let's keep going. And the deceitfulness of riches. Now, this is a strong one. I'm going to show you what this is. This is not what you think it is. Because does he want you to be prosperous? Let me ask you this. Fathers, mothers, grandparents, if your child or grandchild came home and go, Dad, I'm kicking butt at work. I just got a raise. What do you say? You celebrate with him, don't you? You don't go, no, be careful. Deceit of riches, you know. Be careful. It's such hypocrisy that I see in the body of Christ, right? Well, you know, it's harder for a rich man to go through. I'm going to cover that. Tell you exactly what that all means, okay? Because I hear that the only people that say it are hypocritical Christians that talk like that. Yet they like their house, they like their salary, they like their car. It says, we talked about that. Then drive a camel to work. Right? Get rid of it. Because you are rich compared to the rest of the world. Right? You've been around the world and doing missions and stuff. We are rich, aren't we? Even the poorest of poor have Obama phones. Don't they? They get free phones here. Well, they're not free. I paid for it and you paid for it. But anyway, they think it's free. So, Mike, don't talk. That's the cares of this world. No, it's not. That's not what we're talking about. Okay? All right. You guys get it? All right. Deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the message and it becomes unfruitful. Okay, the deceitfulness of riches doesn't mean God's against riches. How can that be? Because 2 Corinthians 8, like we did when we just gave offering, it says, I became poor so that you may become rich. We just want you to be rich. No, he says he wants me to be rich. No, it's deceitful. No, you're reading this wrong. I'll show you what it is. It can't be, Scripture can't contradict itself. Does that make sense? Now, I'm going to show you where this comes. Doesn't mean God is against riches. The Jews believed if they were rich, they were obviously saved. And it was, in Deuteronomy 8, it talks about that. He says, listen, you're going to go into this promised land. You're going to go into Canaan land. And you guys are all going to be rich. Read Deuteronomy 8. He said, the only reason you're going to be rich is because I swore a covenant with your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that you're going to be rich. Now, don't think it's you, because you're going to go in there and think it was you that you're rich. Now, let's go through this. Some of you guys have all heard it's harder for a rich man to go to heaven than the camel to go through an eye of a needle. Let's talk about this. This is the deceitfulness of riches. The Jews believed that if they were rich, they were obviously saved. And God warned them. He said, listen, the only reason you guys are going to be rich is because I swore you're going to be rich. And he can't go against it. You're going to think it's you, and you're going to look at the poor people and go, they're obviously sinning and not rich. So they're not saved, and I am. That's the deceit of riches. The Jews at the time were very rich. I'm going to prove it to you, most of them. And the ones who, quote-unquote, sinned, they were really just condemned and go, I can't experience the covenant anymore. But they were just as saved as anybody else if they believed the gospel. So just because they were rich, they still had to believe the gospel to be saved. That's the deceitfulness of riches. Does that make sense to you guys? Maybe? You guys with me? All right, let's go through these scriptures to prove it. Mark 10, good master. This is the rich young ruler, and I've heard all the word of faith. They see, he was setting it up. He was given a chance to sow into the kingdom. I totally disagree with that, but you can believe what you want, because I've seen people sow into the kingdom for 80 years, and they're still just as poor as everybody else. So I go, something's missing, right? And if that's you, I'm going to free you up from all that. Sound good? Hey, he was setting him up. He was giving him a chance. And I go, if you read it, he told him to give up everything, follow his cross, because he was trying to do something. So Jesus goes, you're going to have to do just like I did. I gave up the wealth of the world, everything. I got up on the cross and gave up everything. If you're going to think you're going to do this, then you got to do it all. But if you miss one, you're guilty of it all. It wasn't a chance for him to set him up to sow. I have a hard time believing that if I actually read Scripture. So this should be the answer right there. Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit? That's screwed up in itself. Isn't it? How do my kids inherit? They're born into my family. How do you inherit? You're born into his family. You're born again. You now have an inheritance of somebody else's work, Jesus' work. Does that make sense? So he thought, I can do. And what was Jesus' response? Hey, you know the law. Yep, I've done all of it since my youth. Now, how many of you guys know that's a crock of something? Right? And so he just gives the law back to him. He says, listen, if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of it all. If you really think you're going to do it, then give up everything. Because he was saying, I gave up everything, and I don't think you're going to follow me. He wasn't setting him up to sow into the kingdom. Sorry. If that was true, why aren't you rich? You don't believe you're rich. You're still trying to do so to be rich. Where the kingdom says, you know what, believe you're rich, now sow. Follow me? You can sow millions and millions and millions into the kingdom, but if you don't get your heart right, you're not going to experience it. You're just not. Follow me? So, sorry if that rattles you. I'm just like, I want you to actually prosper. How do you do it? I gave you the parable. I'm giving it to you right now. So let's talk about this deceitfulness of riches. So the disciples are freaked out because of what Jesus just said, right? Now, and Jesus looked around about them and saith unto his disciples, how hard shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom? Why? And the disciples were astonished at his words. Why would they be astonished? Because they were rich. They thought the deceitfulness of riches, wait a minute, if we're rich, we're obviously not sinning and blessed by God. We're obviously in God's covenant and saved. That's the deceitfulness of riches. It doesn't have to, New Covenant goes, I became poor so that you may become rich. So be as rich as you want. That's what I'm telling you. There's no deceit in that. In fact, I think it's honoring to God. Hey, I believe that because of Jesus' blood, he can do this. That's just what Janice is saying. Why? Because if we're all prospering, guess what? We're going to do good things. Pretty easy, isn't it? So, disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches? See, that's the deceitfulness of riches. Hey, I'm rich because I'm a Jew. I must be saved. He goes, no, you still have to accept Christ. Okay? So, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I'm not going to get into all that, but all that meant was there was eyes of a needle when you went into a kingdom where it's a little door where the camels had to, they had to get rid of everything that they possessed, and they got down on their knees, humbly walked into the kingdom. Not, I'm rich, so I must be saved. That's deceitfulness of riches. None of you have to worry about the deceitfulness of riches. That's really what I'm trying to get at, because it doesn't apply to you. The kingdom is all about, what do I believe in my heart? Then I'm going to experience it. Okay? Does that help you? Okay. And that's why, you know, you talk about, beloved of all else, I want you to prosper and be in health. We're not one of those prospering and healthy churches, are you? Yes. It's common sense to me. I'm a dad. I don't go, man, you know, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to make you poor and give you a disease. That'll teach you. No wonder people hate God, because that's the Christian's view of God. Does that make sense? He goes, man, I'm love. And love gives everything, does everything, keeps, I see you perfect. I don't keep any record of wrong of anything we do. I'm love personified. Now I'm married to you. Everything I have is now yours. So when the world is going, I can't see God that way, agree with them. That's how you're going to get to share the true gospel with them. Hey, my God wouldn't do that either. That's not God doing that. That's people that are so convicted of guilt and sin, and religion just stirs up the nonsense in them. They go, they're angry, they kill. It says the works of the flesh are obvious or evident. Hey, so if somebody's angry, ever see an angry Christian? Go to your Bible study. Ever seen an angry prophetess? I don't want to go there. And they start screaming at me, praying in tongues, and I'm like, wait a minute. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Try joy. Joy would be good for you right now, right? And my wife's perfect at it. She goes, she just needs a hug. I go, I want to give her a bat. My wife will hug, so she's better at it than I am. I just, you know what? I'm a very simple man, and sometimes I go, can you read? It's righteousness, peace, and joy. We experience the kingdom by what we believe. Amen? And it's tough because we're mildly retarded most of the time. We really are we not? So it's hard for us to go, man, Mike, you're so righteous and perfect. No, I'm not. Childlike faith, man. Just believe what he says about you. You're in Christ today. And he says you're awesome, you're beautiful, you're the spotless bride right now. Everything I have is yours. Simply ask for it. Isn't that beautiful? That's what we plan in our heart. Does that make sense? Okay, it's easier. So, hey, listen. And they were astonished out of measure when he said this. Hey, it's hard for a rich man to go to heaven. Why? Because they were taught their whole life, man, if you're rich, you must be in covenant, right? But God warned him. He said, when you go into this promised land, everything's going to be very rich for you. Realize it's because I swore you're going to be rich, nothing that you did. Okay? So it's nothing you can do to enter the kingdom. You have to believe. So they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? If it's not about riches, who can be saved? That's the deceitfulness of riches. And you know his answer. He says, listen, with men this is impossible, but with me all things are possible. You guys get it? So don't worry about the deceitfulness of riches. Be as rich as you want. If not, give it to us. I'll take it. Thank you, Lord. If you own the cattle on a thousand and thousands of hills, then let's have it. Amen? So, all right. I was going to say something there, but I shouldn't say that. So I keep going. Stay on track, Mike. Let's go back to Mark 4, 20. These are they which are sown on good ground. So now he's going to tell you how to experience the kingdom. This is the parable of the kingdom, all right? So what holds you back? Thinking you have to qualify for it? The cares of that age, that really doesn't apply to you. The deceitfulness of riches really doesn't apply to you. Does that help you? Okay, those things are out of the way because that's what you were taught, right? So let's experience it. Let's see what we do to experience the kingdom now. See, it says, hear the message. What is the message of God? What is the logos and the rhema of God? You're completely sinless. That's the only thing that separated you from me. So I've redeemed you. I died for you. I took all the punishment. Now whatever Jesus has as the husband, two have become one. You're the bride. You're back in covenant. You're the son in the kingdom. Whatever is true about Jesus is true about you. That is the message of the whole Bible. His name is Yeshua, salvation. He goes, in his name. And if you don't believe that, you can't use his name because that's a covenant thing. She can use my name because two have become one. Now, you've become one with Jesus. That's why you can use his name. It doesn't matter if you shout it real loud or if you just believe it in your heart. I'll take the guy who believes it in his heart versus going, in Jesus' name. I don't want that guy. Because I look at his life and he's not experiencing much. Because he doesn't have it here. I'll just take the quiet but silent guy. He goes, man, I just believe God's good. I'll take that guy all day because he's going to experience more of the kingdom. That makes sense? You guys are you okay with that? Is it true in your own life? I got some interesting questions last week from the tongue talkers. And I'm a tongue talker. But let's just be honest, honestly. There's more people I know that don't speak in tongues that are way more prosperous and have way more joy than the church. Amen. That's just personal observation. Maybe your life is different, but I bet it's not. So what's wrong? You got to experience the kingdom by what you believe in your heart. I don't care how much you pray in tongues. Now, do I want you to pray in tongues? Sure. What if you don't? I'll still take the guy who plants it in his heart and goes, man, I'm prosperous because I'm going to be prosperous. I'll take him. I'll take him versus the guy that's like, I'm trying to hear from the Lord. I don't have time for you. I'm just going to go over here with this guy. I'm hearing voices in my head. Stop. Put it in your heart and experience the kingdom. I know that's controversial, but it's just like the king. Let's just read what it says. Doesn't it say all that? Here's the parable. Here's how you're going to experience the kingdom. See, what's happening is the charismatics, all of us, I'm one of those too, we thought we had something special because we had the gifts, but we didn't have him. We didn't have the giver of the gifts. Isn't that true? I want him. She wants me, not the gift. Does that make sense? Now, the gifts are there. I believe, you can disagree with this, but I believe so we can really minister to the non-believer and to what we're telling them is true. What are we telling them is true? You're completely sinless. God's so in love with you. He's so happy with you. All he wants to do is bless you. Yeah, but I'm a prostitute. We all are. Because if we're guilty of one, we're guilty of it all. Amen? He doesn't care about that. Well, you can't tell them that. They're going to do it. No, they're already doing it. I'm trying to get them out of it. This is simple to me. Is it not? Okay. So, some are going to believe it, and they're going to produce 30-fold. Some are going to get that seed. Their heart's going to be totally free. They're going to get total nonsense of the stony heart out of there. And they're just going to believe, Jesus came in the flesh. I have a fleshy heart. My heart's going to be rooted in, he loved me so much, he died for me. Now everything he has is mine. He loves me that much. I'm a bride of Christ. Hallelujah. I'm the bride of the anointing. You don't need a man to touch you and anoint you. You are in the anointing. You can't get any more. You can't. If you fall down, doesn't mean you're more anointed. I've seen lots of falling down my whole life. And honestly, I would look like, okay, I guess we fall down. But when we'd get up, we'd be driving home going, nothing changed. Didn't we? See people running around laughing, like, what's wrong with you? It's not that funny. He wasn't that funny. He's doing something. Doing stuff with people. I'm like, the guests are freaking out. Right? You bring somebody to see that, and they go, you didn't share the good news with them. You shared some gifts with him. He's not ready for the gifts. He needs the gift giver right now. Now, the words of knowledge, the healing, yes, operate in all those gifts, we all do. But I want you to live in a higher level. Just believe and experience the kingdom. Amen? The gifts are all there for you. But the real thing is there, him. All the promises are yes and amen. Does that make sense to you guys? So, hallelujah. I just want you to live without having the need for the gift of healing. I want your heart to be so, man, I'm so righteous and loved by God that I don't mess with that stuff anymore. The same spirit that raised him from the dead, you guys aren't dead yet, you're still here, amen? That will touch your mortal flesh when you believe how much he loves you. You experience it, man, he loves me that much. What an amazing grace. You know what? Your body will start to get healthy. It's beautiful. So he said, so is the kingdom of God, if a man should cast this seed into the ground, should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. Man, this is the fearfully and wonderfully created part. So how many of you guys are farmers or ever planted anything? You plant it, and what do you give it? Give it some sun and some water. What's that a picture of? Jesus. Amen? So we plant the message in our heart. We keep feeding it with the washing of the water, his message, his word, his Holy Spirit, his anointing, his light, right? We just keep planting ourselves with the truth about Jesus in our heart. How does it come to pass? How did that seed, when you planted a corn seed, how did it come to pass? Did you spiritual warfare over that thing? Did you cast the generational curse out? It's the mystery of the kingdom. We know not how. It just miraculously happens. When we start believing the right thing about our life, it just starts to happen. You guys get it? That's how, if you understand that parable, you know how all the kingdom works. It's what you put in your heart. You guys get it? Now, if you want to fall down doing it, that's fine. If you want to laugh so all your neighbors think you're weird in the spirit, that's fine too. I just want to plant the right thing in my heart and go kick butt, because guess what? I think I'm going to attract more people. I just do. Follow me? I know, gosh, I'm not, it's really iffy here, but I'm just trying to help you guys because, guys, we've been through that gamut, man. We've been through everything, haven't we? We've been through the ringer on all of it because we were zealous, but not according to knowledge is what Scripture says. Mike, you can do this because you got this cool thing over here, and go to this church because they're doing all this over there. And honestly, we would do it because they're like, okay, they seem smart. We'll do that. And then you go, you got to fast for 21 days. Well, that sucked. Nothing really happened to me. You know, this dude came into town and gave me a touch, and he touched me hard, and I fell down. But nothing really happened to me until I started believing the right thing. When I started believing the right thing, I'm like, man, it's childlike faith. Hallelujah, I am prosperous. You start planting that in your heart. Man, I'm prosperous. Whatever I put my hand to shall prosper. Get that in your heart. Get that in your heart. You'll eventually that stony heart will go away, and you won't even have to do it. It'll be miraculous. And all the messages are the same if you look at them closely. Hey, if you understood, go read Ephesians 3 again, 19 and 20. Go read that whole chapter. He's all talking about heart issues and what you believe. Because if you really believe how much he loves you, he'll do exceedingly abundant beyond what you think or ask. Whatever you can even imagine in here, he'll exceed it. We know not how. So he tells us, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. What's your ground? He says, your ground is your heart, what you believe about yourself. Isn't it all the same message? This is how you're going to experience the kingdom. Romans 10:9, the famous salvation verse. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you experience life. You're sozoed. Doesn't it all say the same thing? To me, it does. So, you go to sleep. You plant the seed. You go to sleep. You rise night and day, and the seed springs up and grows. We don't know how. Why? He's made us so fearfully and wonderfully made that the good news that's planted in your heart has power in itself. The earth brings forth its fruit. The heart brings forth its fruit itself. First, a little bit, you'll start seeing, man, I'm not the same person I used to be. I'm starting to experience more. A little bit, that's the blade. Then the ear, right? A little bit more, that's the 60-fold. And all of a sudden, you just start operating in it, the 100-fold. We don't know how. We don't have to know how. He goes, you just meditate on me, the right thing, start seeing that you're already sinless. Does that make sense? You're already sinless. You're already righteous. You're already so loved. Start planting that in your heart. You know what you're going to start experience? Love. Well, I'm confused in my mind. No, start planting the right thing in your heart, and your mind will clear up. We don't know how. We don't have to figure it out. He goes, I'm just telling you how the kingdom works. It's what you plant in your heart and believe. Because you were, guys, I was almost overwhelmed yesterday morning when I was going through this. I go, God, man, I can tell we're just touching the touch of what he's got for you. It's so massive. And he goes, man, the church has blown it for so many years. because they're teaching all these things, but just believe the right thing in your heart. You become a child and just believe what God says about you. Plant that in your heart, and it's going to be a 100-fold return. Does that make sense? So does that help you guys? So that's the parable of the kingdom. The old covenant of doing has been replaced by a new covenant of just plant stuff in your heart. You don't need to know how. Your life will start to change miraculously. You'll start to experience life, prosperity, joy, health, all these things. Hallelujah. We'll have our own Obamacare. How? We planted it in our heart that we're already healthy and now we get to enjoy it. Amen. It's a better plan. It's a better health plan. All right? We experience everything in the kingdom by planting the right things in our heart. Isn't that what it said? Hey, if you understand this parable, you'll understand all of them. And if you go look at those parables, the Jews thought they had to do things or they were in covenant. But it's clear. He goes, no, you're going to have to believe things. That's how it works. Okay? When you believe right, you'll supernaturally experience the kingdom. Does that help you guys? So how do you get out of guilt and condemnation? You start planting the seed in your heart that you're perfectly sinless already. Because it's not about your doing anymore. Obviously, it wasn't about Abraham's doing, was it? I was taught that forever. The faith of Abraham in the hall of faith, right? But if you go look at it, both him and Sarah didn't have a level of faith. They didn't believe it. It was by covenant. God promised it, end of story. So why didn't they list all of their sins? Because he keeps no record of wrong after the real lamb was slain. He's perfect love. So get freed up by all that. Abraham wasn't this choice thing. He was prostituting his wife. He was. Yet Abraham was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. Right after that, it says that. Now that just freaks people out. But why? Because he goes, Abraham, I'm going to be God, and you're going to be my covenant people. How will I know? Give me the 3-year-old lamb. How will we know? We renew our mind back to the fleshy heart. Jesus came in the flesh, died for me, rose again. Now I'm sinless and one with him. Everything that's true about Jesus is true about me. Is Jesus prosperous? Then you're prosperous. Right? Is Jesus healed? Then you are healed. What do you need to do to be healed? There's gifts of healing. I get it. That it can be like that. But most of you guys, you know what? If you plant the right thing in your heart, you'll stay healed. Because I don't want you to have to get healed and then we have to pray over you again a year from now. Well, of course we're going to pray for you and heal you today. But how you stay healed is you plant that you're already healed and loved right here. Because if you're judged, your body starts to shut down. And it starts to mess you up in different ways. Right? So, is he already, I don't know, give me some more things, the real things about Christ. He's joyful. How do you become joyful? Believe that everything he has is yours. Amen? That would give me joy. I don't know about you, but you know what gives me joy? I don't have to fast forward. I'm at the supper of the Lamb right now. That gives me a lot of joy, if you haven't noticed. Because fasting was like miserable to me. And I've never seen a happy faster. That's why, you see, even the old company said, hey, put oil on. Act like you're not fasting because you look miserable. I don't want you to represent my kingdom like that. Does that make sense? And they're the first ones to tell you, oh, I'm on a Daniel fast. I can't have that. Well, let me have your portion then. That's just self-righteousness creeping up. I'm telling you, it really is crazy to me. I'm like, yeah, good for you. I'm going to eat and eat a lot. Thank you, Lord, because I'm at the feast. There's feasting in the new covenant, not fasting. You fast every day, just break it for breakfast. Does that make sense? That's my idea of a fast. I went to sleep, Lord. Okay. And this is true. I don't care what you say. Put your flesh down. No, that's not what it is. By me having to do something to put my flesh down is actually fleshly. Does that make sense? That never made sense to me. Well, you're getting your flesh down. How? By not eating? I want to eat and plant the good thing in my heart. Then I'll experience the kingdom is what I read. Follow me? Okay, so you're prosperous, you're healthy, you're rich, you're healed, you're divinely protected, you're in the kingdom. That is the new covenant of God. Amen? So get to your feet. Hopefully that helps you. So, yes, some of us better than others. Michael, it was you, wasn't it? Guys, you don't have to believe me, but just try it. Just start trying to miraculously, and it's what's the labor of the new covenant? To believe in the one who is sent. It's all about a heart issue again. So now we need to get that message. What does it mean that he was sent? He's sent to make you sinless and perfectly loved the rest of your life. You're perfectly loved, you're perfectly prosperous, you're complete in him. There's nothing lacking. That is the labor that we have to do. And I get it. It's harder because we've created these strongholds that if I do this, then I'm blessed. If I do that, then I'm blessed. He goes, no, that's a stony heart yet. He gives a fleshly heart that he came in the flesh and did everything for you. Now enter into his love. Does that make sense? So that is the powerful, and when you start believing that, guys, you lead Carolyn Leaf's book and all these hardy, you go, we were designed to be loved. And we all know that. Is we know why kids get into gangs and all this stuff, because they're appreciated there. Finally, I found some, why? Because they, I don't care if it's a little messed up, they go, man, I was created to be in the family. I want to be respected and loved by somebody. Does that make sense? I'll take those David's mighty men any day. Any day. Versus the Bible school or the Bible study leader who's... There's no joy there. The joy comes from knowing, man, he loves me perfectly. Hallelujah. God, he would bless a God like me. That is a good dad. Right? Does that help you guys? So, Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. Just let everybody under the sound of my voice know that they're perfectly sinless right now in Jesus' magnificent name. When they get that deep in their heart, how much you love them. You died for them is how much you love them. Now you see them as perfect. You see them as spotless. They qualify for every blessing just because of Jesus. So what's true about Jesus is true about every one of these people under the sound of my voice. They are already prosperous. They are already healed. They are already perfectly loved. They are already the spotless bride. There's no blemish on them. And we just thank you for that. That's how we experience everything that you bought and paid for. In Jesus' magnificent name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.